WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Radio at fairtoflare.com. I'm Jason Mann, and with me today is Seth Roy. Seth, how you doing?
I am good.
Good to hear. And today we're continuing our series on WrestleMania main events with WrestleMania 19, Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle for the WWE title. Angle was the champion. And, this is a pretty well-remembered match, I would say. Interesting because, it's Lesnar and Angle's, both of their only times being the final match at WrestleMania. I know Kurt Angle is really a huge personal favorite of yours, so I would imagine you'd be a pretty big fan of this match.
Yes.
And I don't know. There is something missing in the whole dynamic to me, and I'm not exactly sure what that is. Incredibly athletically good match and, technically sound and some really good chain wrestling early on and, really good suplexes, some good bumping. I mean, everything in it is good. It's a very good match, but there's something lacking emotionally for me. And like I said, I'm not exactly sure what that is. I don't know how you feel as far as that goes.
I guess I can see that a little bit, and I don't even, thinking of the storyline leading up to it, I don't remember a lot of specifics, except I know there was a lot with Lesnar taking out Team Angle and the one match where Kurt Angle's brother switched with him. But I don't even remember a lot of the specifics as far as why, what made Kurt Angle a big heel and Brock Lesnar what made you want to cheer for him leading up to the match?
I'm not sure that they were really cast in the best role, especially Lesnar. I don't think he had the personality yet to be, a hero character. I think he was really kind of rushed into that because he'd been around for less than a year. He debuted shortly after the previous WrestleMania and became champion at SummerSlam and, and was the dominant heel for the first 5 or 6 months, then started getting some cheers, and they kind of rushed a babyface turn at Survivor Series that year, and he lost the title. And then, there were kind of various shenanigans where Angle ended up winning the title and turning heel and aligning himself with Paul Heyman, who had been Lesnar's manager before. I thought Angle and Team Angle were, that was a kind of a nice combination. Him and Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, that was a pretty decent group. And, it just kind of felt like the whole thing of interest in the match is these are like the two, greatest athletes probably in WWE history, at least greatest, amateur wrestling stars in WWE history, or at least at that time, Angle certainly being there and Lesnar being, among the best. And it was, I don't know if maybe it would have been better having a more sports build rather than doing all the angles they did.
Right.
I think some of the angles, I think the reason they did the Lesnar Angle match on television and had the Eric Angle switch is because I know Kurt Angle was suffering severe neck problems, and he took some time off after WrestleMania was done, and I think there was a chance that they were going to not do the WrestleMania match. And so they set up the TV match, but then I think they changed their mind and Angle, and then they did the switch to have Angle keep the belt, and then, and still, you know, have interest in another match at WrestleMania. But I don't know. I think having them wrestle on TV that much, I don't know, maybe took away from it a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. And I get with the Pure Sports build. I mean, a lot of the match at the beginning was more of a wrestling match for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, do a lot of chain wrestling. You know, Lesnar kind of works the arm bar and, you know, Angle doing, you know, fireman's carry counters and lots of takedowns and, you know, and that sort of stuff. Yeah, I mean, that was a really good, you know, that was a really good sequence. And, and they work very much a sport-style match. I mean, there's very little playing to the crowd. Like, I don't think Lesnar did any sort, you know, did nothing to play to the crowd. And Angle doesn't really do anything that's heelish here. I mean, it's really a match, you know, kind of that, you know, fits the stereotypes of what we think of like the 50s, you know, with, you know, it being, you know, like, you know, you could see like, you know, Vern Gagne, you know, in this match, I mean, just doing scientific wrestling. Now it's obviously updated with a, you know, more, you know, impactful, hard hitting style, you know, with, you know, the big suplexes and, you know, Lesnar hitting a press slam and Angle doing a German suplex and basically sending Lesnar's back into the turnbuckle, which was pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. But it's definitely it's a very scientific based match.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
It is, and they did a pretty good job of using Brock's prior injuries. He had a rib injury coming into the match.
Yeah,
and that played into the match in a few areas. I think he had may have had some trouble. I forget exactly where, but may have had some trouble, you know, lifting Angle in a couple spots. Or
I mean, he's definitely selling the back pain a lot, and right. He's concentrating on that area for a lot of the match. I mean, he works, you know, kind of the bow and arrow hold, which was cool looking. Which that's a move I'd like to see more. That you know, I mean, it's similar to some of the other like cross face style submissions, but it's, you know, was a little different. And you know, you kind of have Lesnar, you know, being able to power out of that and slamming him into the turnbuckles, but then, you know, being too fatigued, you know, and holding his back and not being able to kind of follow up on that.
Right.
So, I mean, and they do set a pretty intense pace. You know, I mean, they kind of have some, you know, rest hold type things, although it's, you know, like I said, the bow and arrow was certainly a more interesting rest hold than a basic chin lock, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they have, you know, Angle gets like a huge throw, then, you know, hits a running high knee to the back to send Brock out. And, but then they go, after fighting a little bit outside, they go back in and Angle charges and runs into like a really huge spine buster. Lesnar gets a couple of belly to belly suplexes for two. And then Angle just, you know, kind of reverses, follows up, and hits four German suplexes right in a row, you know. So they're really, you know, throwing a lot at each other. A lot of big moves. I don't feel like it really told – I mean, it told a story, but it didn't – like, it. There was – not a lot to like emotionally sink, you know, my teeth into it. Like I think, you know, matches that, you know, I'm a fan of matches that concentrate on the wrestling and are really wrestling focused. But, you know, even so, there just wasn't like a, maybe it's just, it was because Lesnar didn't do anything for me as a babyface. Maybe that's just it. I, like I said, I can't really pinpoint exactly what my, you know, issue with is with it exactly, but we move on after the Germans with Angle trying an Angle slam, and then but Lesnar actually picking up for the F5, and then Angle getting the ankle lock, and he holds it for decent. Well, actually Lesnar gets to the rope, and then Angle sort of pulls him back and then changes to the half crab, which I don't know, the half grab for me submission, it just doesn't seem like a submission that, like I'm sure it's really painful in real life, but it seems like it's like a lazy man's version of a Boston crab. Like, if you're going to do a half crab, why not just do a Boston crab? So it always seems like it's like a sort of a submission that really like isn't that believable to me. But then it's funny because Michael Cole and Taz, who are doing the commentary, you play up the fact that it, you know, is a intensely painful maneuver, especially for the back, which I guess sort of makes sense. But
right, they played it up as almost a bigger deal than the ankle lock.
Right. Even though the ankle lock is way more over as a submission finisher.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the commentary of Cole and Taz here?
Nothing really stuck out to me as particularly bad. I think it was better than Cole and Lawler are.
Generally
today.
Together. Yeah.
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 I think Cole. Well, the single leg crab thing was kind of off. But I, you know, nothing stuck out as bad, and I guess that's for Cole calling a match is maybe as good as you can get. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I noticed that he had a really hoarse voice, which sort of, and he was trying to, like, convey the emotion. His voice would stretch every time that happened, which was just kind of hard to hear, actually. But, yeah, actually, I think the bringing the half crab, I think actually bringing up the back thing was a good thing. Yeah, and I thought
right.
Taz did a nice job of like getting over like the certain like subtle aspects of the wrestling, you know, particularly the chain wrestling that I don't think an average person would get. So I thought that was pretty good. I did think there was some stuff that was just a little tonally off, you know, and it, you know, obviously paled in comparison to, you know, Jim Ross, you know, being able to, you know, do something. But, you know, I thought it was okay. But it was the first time I recall in a long time, you know, of someone other than Ross doing the main event of WrestleMania. So, yeah, we should talk a little bit about just kind of the general, you know, where WWE was at this point, because this is the first WrestleMania after the brand split. So, you know, there's really almost four main events to this show, because there's the two world title matches, this one, and then Booker T and Triple H being the other world title match. And then there's McMahon and Hulk Hogan, which was the basically the show, the match that the advertising was centered around and was really like kind of the big match of the show, which I think was sort of a huge mistake, because I don't think anyone really wants to see Vince McMahon considered at Hogan's level, you know, as like a physical, as, you know, like as a physical equal to Hogan, which is kind of how they portrayed it.
Right.
And I don't think that was really like a WrestleMania main event type thing. I'm certainly glad they didn't put it on last. And the other one was Rock and Austin, which was still a big deal and was a great match, but I think it sort of lost its luster because Austin had sort of faded as a star at that point. So... But you know, it was interesting that they made the choice to have this be the final match, because it wasn't like that was necessarily an obvious choice. Although at the time when I was predicting, or when I was thinking, okay, what match will they end with? That this was the one that I thought. So either I just guessed right, or there was some sort of logic to it. I don't know. I guess because I still kind of consider the WWE title to be the number one title.
Right.
Because you know it was traditionally a bet.
And if you're going to end with one of the title matches. Certainly with the way, I mean, if they always try to end with a high moment, having the Triple H Booker T match on last wouldn't have been,
that's true,
you know, the WrestleMania moment to go out on.
Yeah, since Triple H won the match, that's a good point. And this was a better match than that Triple H Booker match. Though actually, I think Triple H Booker match is actually better than people think it is. But,
yeah. But actually, the show kind of as a whole is really a pretty good show. The first half of the show is a bit slow. And then I think with the tag title match, the Team Angle Guerreros and versus Rhino and Chris Benoit, it starts to pick up a little bit.
Of
course, the Jericho versus Shawn Michaels match is great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a classic, yeah.
And then, so pretty much from Jericho, Shawn Michaels, every match after that is... either good to really good, or at least entertaining. Hogan McMahon might have gone on a bit long, but you know, but it was a good match, had good spots.
Yeah, I think they put a lot of tricks in that anyway, and there's some entertainment value to it, but I kind of think it's like a 50-year-old plus and a 60-year-old plus guy hitting each other with weapon shots and bleeding all over the place with a surprise run-in by Roddy Piper. The other thing on the show that was a big deal at the time was they had the video package for Goldberg, you know, that he was coming. So
yeah,
that was pretty exciting at the time too, even though that maybe didn't end up like people would hope. But
I watched on the DVD, they have the Goldberg's first appearance when he comes out and he spears Rock.
Oh yeah.
That seemed like, even now, it just seems like a pretty big moment, and I can't think of when there's been recently a moment kind of like that.
Maybe Rock's return, I guess you could say, but
that's true.
Yeah, but other than that was certainly, you know, one of the big moments of that year, no question about it. So anyway, back to the match. After the half crab, eventually, you know, Brock's able to sort of fight out of it, and then he is able to dump Angle over the top rope, but he again can't really follow up because of his back problem. And Angle eventually gets back in, and then another big move is he hits a released German on Lesnar, who does basically like a huge flip over and lands on his stomach, which is, you know, on his chest and stomach, and which is just incredibly athletic for how big Lesnar is. I mean, not that we're surprised that Lesnar is an incredible athletic specimen, but, you know, even for Lesnar, that was pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And then after that, keeping up with the pace, they hit the Angle Slam, or Angle hits the Angle Slam that Lesnar kicks out of.
Mm-hmm.
I think this happens in just about every match when somebody kicks out of a big move. Cole says that's the first time it had ever been kicked out of. and I somehow highly doubt it.
Yes.
I guess I have a note here that Benoit kicked out of it at the Rumble earlier in the year in a match that Michael Cole was calling.
Well, yeah. Michael Cole's kind of like a cat. Like, he doesn't really like have like a memory past 20 seconds, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. The other thing about Michael Cole, especially during this time, is like, he was so predictable when it came to, you knew the match was not ending when he said, you know, it's over, you know, like he would always say, you know, like after a big move, he would say it's over, and then it would be like a two count, and then it would be, you know, like that was his tell for when the match wasn't over, was when he would say it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the final thing, in the final pin, he never would say it's over. Like it was such a weird thing that he would do. I guess they were telling him to do it, because I wouldn't think he would just do that on his own, or they would, if they figured it out, they would just tell him to shut up and not do that. But I don't know. That was always kind of a goofy thing to me. After that, of course, you know, after Lesnar kicking out of the Angle Slam, Lesnar gets a F5 of his own, but then he's slow to cover, and that only gets two. And now I don't think a lot of people had kicked out of the F5 at that point, though. That might have been the first time.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think Cole might have said that, too.
Okay.
I don't know. Kind of from there, it sort of gets into the they trade their finishers back and forth a bit.
Yeah.
And reverse out of them, and sort of, I don't know if at this point Angle had started doing his sort of formula match yet. This is sort of I guess it's sort of like any big WrestleMania match, but definitely Angle uses the formula a lot in his big matches.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely an attribute he has. I mean, in fairness to him, I mean, a lot of guys have similar matches and do similar spots and whatever. But I think one of the criticisms of Angle is like, yeah, he definitely does his match, and it's, you know, it's usually a great match or a very good match, but it definitely is, you know, kind of what he does.
Right.
Yeah, right after the F5, he sort of is able to get the ankle lock and he wraps the leg, kind of like a couple years later they do the big Shawn Michaels spot where, you know, Angle was able to grapevine the leg and then Shawn wasn't able to pull out of it. Although this point, Lesnar's strong enough to drag himself over and get to the ropes. And this time Angle tries to pull Lesnar off of the ropes again like he did before, but Lesnar's able to turn around and kick him back. And then we kind of get into sort of the, you know, Angle gets a small package for two, and then he tries the Angle Slam, and then it turns into the F5, which Lesnar hits. And then we get the famous, or rather infamous, moment where Lesnar decides, instead of covering, he goes up to the top, and everyone's, you know, a big, huge buzz. And, you know, there were always rumors that he had done a Shooting Star Press. Like, he may have even done an OVW, I don't know. I'm sure he actually probably did. So I was aware that he could do one, and that, you know, and he obviously had never done it on TV. So when he was going up, I was like, you know, thinking like, oh my goodness, Shooting Star Press, he's actually going to do it. But then, of course, he misjudges, I guess, the distance, and then he flips and he lands kind of on his head in front of Angle. Angle sort of rolls a little bit at the end of it to just try to, like, give the illusion of that he rolled out of the way, but, you know, it doesn't really you could obviously clearly tell that it was a hugely messed up thing. And I don't know, if this match had ended on the Shooting Star Press and, you know, that had been the pin, I mean, it might be remembered as one of the great WrestleMania matches of all time. But instead, you know, Lesnar goes for a cover, gets a two, and they're able to sort of improvise a finish right away where Lesnar gets another F5 and then crawls over for the pin. And I've heard it said that Lesnar has no memory of anything that happened after the Shooting Star Press, so that he was able to pull that off, you know, pretty well with, you know, although you hate to see a guy who's, you know, suffered a traumatic, you know, injury on his head, you know, continue a match, but I guess it is WrestleMania, you know, there are certain expectations, so, you know.
Right.
And obviously Lesnar, you know, seems fine today, so I guess it was fine, but still, you know, it's, given what we know about concussions or what have you, it's, you know, kind of a scary thing to think about, so.
It is sort of, you know, unfortunate that the match is almost solely remembered for that, you know, with how good the match is up until that point. And even with that, they, like you said, they recovered well enough.
Yeah, they pulled it together, no question. Yeah, and I, you know, I've been sort of a little down on the match. But, I mean, it's really hard-hitting. It's brutal. It's physical. I mean, they're, you know, it is a very good match. You know, it's, you know, physically tasking. I like the end where, you know, obviously, Lesnar's kind of standing there with a little bit of a blank stare while the ref's trying to give him the belt. I didn't like that part, but I like right afterward where Angle kind of shakes it off, and then he stands up and they do sort of a handshake kind of thing, which was kind of a cool, different sort of way to end a WrestleMania for the babyface and the heel to actually, you know, shake hands and kind of have a, you know, respect each other kind of thing. You know, it's just, I don't like to see that all the time, but, you know, once in a while, that's kind of a neat thing. And then obviously, it transitioned to when Angle came back. He, you know, came back as a babyface, and they were actually buddies for a while. And then Lesnar ended up turning heel on him and kind of had his, you know, his second heel run before he left WWE. So, you know, and then they, you know, had a series of matches in, you know, I think they had one at SummerSlam 03, and then they had like an Iron Man on SmackDown, and probably a couple of others too. So, you know, and they, you know, had a pretty good series of matches. So, you know, it was a pretty good feud. I don't know if it really, like, you know, it was not necessarily a successful feud, but it was, you know, as far as match quality goes, it was pretty good. So,
right.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that was sort of the time period I basically missed. I know we've talked about it before, but I basically missed in his initial run, Brock Lesnar. So there's a lot of things there that I'm sort of familiar with, but you know, didn't experience it at the time.
Yeah, I honestly, this was not like, this was kind of when I started sort of fading out of wrestling for a few years. I mean, I was still watching, at least, you know, I was watching Raw and SmackDown pretty regularly through some of 03, and then I kind of stopped kind of later into 03 and 04 and 05. I mean, I would watch periodically, but I wouldn't necessarily watch every week anymore. I would still follow it on the internet, so I still knew what was going on, but there's a lot of things I didn't see from that era, so I know what you mean. But so overall, you know, yeah, it is one of the better WrestleManias, and I'm not sure it's necessarily remembered as such. You know, but it's, and it's, you know, it's definitely a match worth watching. It's very different from a lot of WrestleMania main events. And while maybe it isn't quite as successful as I, you know, would hope it would be, it's definitely worth enjoying on its own merits. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Keep checking out our podcast for more WrestleMania main event reviews. And we'll be back again later. And thanks a lot.